Welcome to Zichu Dav Siman Mamre Ram Goldar, and today we're Zechus Baba Kama Dav Tzadi Zayin. The ninth parak Gozel Eitzim. So the three davs we're going to focus on. Number one, Rav ruled that an evet is considered like land and cannot be considered stolen. This contradicts another ruling of Rav's. Hatokah ba'avdo shel chavero va'asuba malach pater. One who seizes his fellow's evet and did work with him is pater from paying for his use. Now, if a slave cannot be legally stolen and remains in the master's domain, he should pay for its work, whereas if it can be stolen, he merely returns it as is. The Gemara answers that he worked shelo b'shas malacha, not at the time of the master's work, so the master suffered no loss. This is like one who lives in someone's courtyard without his knowledge, where he's exempt from paying rent. The Gemara adds that this exemption is unique to a dwelling, where the owner benefits from someone living there because an inhabited house is tended to, or because inhabiting it keeps destructive demons away. But why would the master agree to weakening a slave with additional labor? It answers that he benefits from a slave not becoming accustomed to leisure. Point number two, the Mishnah in the previous Dav taught that if one stole a coin, v'nistak, and it cracked, he must pay its initial value. But if nifsal, it became disqualified, he may return it to the owner as is. Rav Huna interprets cracked literally, whereby the guzman acquires it with a shinui, and disqualified means pasal tu malchus, the government disqualified it. Rav Yehuda says that if the government disqualified it, it's tantamount to being cracked, and the guzman pays its initial value. Rather, nipsal means that one province no longer accepts it as currency, but another does. Rav Chisda challenged Rav Huna from the Mishnah, which taught that stolen fruit which rotted or wine which soured, which are similar to a government disqualified coin, must be paid for and not returned. He answered, Hasan nishtanda tamo berecho. There, its taste and smell have changed, so the guzman acquires them, whereas this coin is not physically changed. Rabbi challenged Rabbi Yehuda from the Mishnah, which taught that truma, which became tameh, and is similar to a government-disqualified coin, may be returned to the owner despite being useless. He answered that the damage of tameh truma is indiscernible, whereas halcha minkar hezekah, here, the damage is discernible because the coin is recognized as invalid. And point number three, if someone lends his friend and fixes payment on a coin, and the coin became disqualified, Rav says, he must give him a coin that passes as currency at that time of payment, since he agreed to pay with currency. Shmuel says, he may pay with the original currency and tell the lender, go and spend it in Meshan, where it's still accepted. Rav Nachman reasons that Shmuel's ruling is only where the lender is going anyway to Meshan. This is a challenge from the laws of Chilul Maaseh Sheni, and Shmuel's case is further clarified as where the governments forbid people to hold other currencies, but it can be transported to Meshan with difficulty because people are not searched for foreign currency. But if he's not going there, he cannot use it as currency for travelers from Meshan for fear of being caught. Rav Chisda told Rava that if the authorities added to the coin, increasing its requisite silver content, he still pays with the same number of coins, even if they're now as large as a quarter cup. The Gemara proceeds to discuss where deductions must be made to avoid ribbis, either from its increased buying power or its increased silver content. So once again, the three points are number one. Rav ruled that an evet is considered like land and cannot be considered stolen. This contradicts another ruling of Rav's. Hatokah ba'avdo shel chavero va'asuba malach pater. One who seizes his fellow's evet and did work with him is pater from paying for his use. Now, if a slave cannot be legally stolen and remains in the master's domain, he should pay for its work, whereas if it can be stolen, he merely returns it as is. The Gemara answers that he worked shelo b'shas malacha, not at the time of the master's work, so the master suffered no loss. This is like one who lives in someone's courtyard without his knowledge, where he's exempt from paying rent. The Gemara adds that this exemption is unique to a dwelling, where the owner benefits from someone living there because an inhabited house is tended to, or because inhabiting it keeps destructive demons away. But why would the master agree to weakening a slave with additional labor? It answers that he benefits from a slave not becoming accustomed to leisure. Point number two, the Mishnah in the previous Dav taught that if one stole a coin, v'nistak, and it cracked, he must pay its initial value. But if nifsal, it became disqualified, he may return it to the owner as is. Rav Huna interprets cracked literally, whereby the guzman acquires it with a shinui, and disqualified means pasal tu malchus, the government disqualified it. Rav Yehuda says that if the government disqualified it, it's tantamount to being cracked, and the guzman pays its initial value. Rather, nipsal means that one province no longer accepts it as currency, but another does. Rav Chisda challenged Rav Huna from the Mishnah, which taught that stolen fruit which rotted or wine which soured, which are similar to a government disqualified coin, must be paid for and not returned. He answered, Hasan nishtanda tamo berecho. There, its taste and smell have changed, so the guzman acquires them, whereas this coin is not physically changed. Rabbi challenged Rabbi Yehuda from the Mishnah, which taught that Truma, which became Tame, and is similar to a government-disqualified coin, may be returned to the owner despite being useless. He answered that the damage of Tame Truma is indiscernible, whereas Hacha Minka Hezeka, here, the damage is discernible because the coin is recognized as invalid. And point number three, if someone lends his friend and fixes payment on a coin, and the coin became disqualified, Rav says, he must give him a coin that passes as currency at that time of payment, since he agreed to pay with currency. Shmuel says, he may pay with the original currency and tell the lender, go and spend it in Meshan, where it's still accepted. Rav Nachman reasons that Shmuel's ruling is only where the lender is going anyway to Meshan. This is a challenge from the laws of Chil and Maisa Sheni, and Shmuel's case is further clarified as where the governments forbid people to hold other currencies, but it can be transported to Meshan with difficulty because people are not searched for foreign currency. But if he's not going there, he cannot use it as currency for travelers from Meshan for fear of being caught. Rav Chisda told Rava that if the authorities added to the coin, increasing its requisite silver content, he still pays with the same number of coins, even if they're now as large as a quarter cup. The Gemara proceeds to discuss where deductions must be made to avoid ribbis, either from its increased buying power or its increased silver content. All right, so now we go to Simon Dov Tzadi Zayin, and our standard Simon is a chess master. Chess master. So here goes. The chess master thief who stole someone's evid to polish his chess pieces and was delighted he was putter for paying for his use had a pile of coins he stole on the table, which had since become disqualified by the government that he was going to return to the victim, and repaid a loan with a coin he had fixed payment on, and told the lender, go and spend it in Meshan, where it's still accepted. Once again, slow motion. The chess master, that must be more on Duff, Tzadi Zayin, chess. The chess master thief who stole someone's evid to polish his chess pieces, and was delighted he was putter for paying for his use, which reminds us, Rav ruled, that an evid is considered like land and cannot be considered stolen. This contradicts another ruling of Rav's, Hatokev ba'avdo shel chavero ba'asa b'malacha putter. One who seizes his fellow slave and did work with him is putter from paying for his use. If a slave cannot be legally stolen and remains in the master's domain, he should pay for his work, whereas if he can be stolen, he merely returns it as is. The Gemara answers that he worked shelo b'shas malacha, not at the time of the master's work, so the master suffered no loss. So the chess master thief who stole someone's evid to polish his chess pieces and was delighted he was putter for paying for his use had a pile of coins he stole on the table, which had since become disqualified by the government that he was going to return to the victim, which reminds us, the Mishnah on the previous stuff taught that if one stole a coin of a nistak and it cracked, he must pay its initial value, but if nifsal, it became disqualified, he may return it to the owner as is. Rav Huna interprets cracked literally, whereby the gazman requires it with a shenui, and nifsal means psal to malchus, the government disqualified it. Rav Huna says that if the government disqualified it, it's tantamount to being cracked, and the gazman pays its initial value. Rather, nifsal means one province no longer accepts it as currency, but another does. So, the chess master thief who stole someone's evid to polish his chess pieces and was delighted he was putter for paying for his use had a pile of coins he stole on the table, which had since become disqualified by the government that he was going to return to the victim, and repaid a loan with a coin he had fixed payment on, and told the lender, go and spend it in Meshan, where it's still accepted. Which reminds us, if someone lends his friend and fixes payment on a coin, and the coin became disqualified, Rav says, he must give him a coin that passes as currency at that time of payment, since he agreed to pay with currency. Shmuel says, he may pay with the original currency and tell the lender, go and spend it in Meshan, where it's still accepted. So once again, the chess master thief who stole someone's evid to polish his chess pieces and was delighted he was putter for paying for his use had a pile of coins he stole on the table, which had since become disqualified by the government that he was going to return to the victim, and repaid a loan with a coin he had fixed payment on, and told the lender, go and spend it in Meshan, where it's still accepted. All right, so now it's time for four blah back chazar. Daf Tzadi Gimel. So the simmer Daf Tzadi Gimel is a train chugging along. So here goes. When the train conductor had a heart attack and died, train conductor, that must be on Daf Tzadi Gimel, a train chugging along. When the train conductor had a heart attack and died, right after asking Hashem to judge the train driver for being late, which reminds us, Rav Hanan said, Hamoser din al chavero, one who gives over judgment of his fellow to heaven, asking HaKadosh Baruch Hu to judge him, hu ne'enash tchila, he's punished first for his own sins. Rashi and Rosh Hashanah explains he scrutinized to determine if he deserves to have his fellow punished because of him. We find that Sarai told Avram, Chamasi alecha, my injustice upon you. Let Hashem judge between me and you. And she died earlier than Avram. So when the train conductor had a heart attack and died, right after asking Hashem to judge the train driver for being late, no one noticed the Gazlan stealing smooth wood and making it into a coffin to sell, which reminds us, the ninth parak begins, a gozel etzim ba'asan kelim, one who steals pieces of wood and makes them into utensils, semer ba'asan begadim, or pieces of wool, and makes them into garments, mishalm kashas hegzela, pays their value at the time of the robbery. Since he acquired them with a shinui, a physical change, he pays the original value and he keeps the stolen items. The Mishnah implies that his earlier acts of planing the wood and whiting the wool, respectively, were insufficient to acquire them, which contradicts a brisa stating that one does acquire with these acts. Abai explains that the Mishnah discusses one who stole boards, which he assembled into a chest, or already spun threads of wool, which he wove into a garment. So when the train conductor had a heart attack and died, right after asking Hashem to judge the train driver for being late, no one noticed the Gazlan stealing smooth wood and making it into a coffin to sell, nor his accomplice acquiring wool he stole by whitening it, which reminds us. A braisa teaches that one who whitens stolen wool acquires it. This contradicts the Mishnah regarding reishis hageis, and Rava says that both statements are Rabbi Shimon's, but distinguishes between cleaning the wool by hand, which is insignificant, and cleaning through combing, which is significant. Dav Tzadi Dalad, so the Simra Dav Tzadi Dalad is a hunter. So here goes. The hunter, that must mean we're on Dav Tzadi Dalad. Tzad. The hunter who pointed his rifle at a thief to prevent him from making a bracha on wheat he stole ground and separated challah on, which reminds us, Abai lists 5 to 9 who hold shinui bimkomo omed, an item which underwent a change, stays in place, and is not acquired. One of them being Rabbi Ben Yaakov, who said that if one stole wheat and made bread with it, then separated challah, he cannot make a bracha. Ein ze mavarach el menayitz. This is not blessing Hashem, but blaspheming him to make a bracha over stolen goods. Rav rejected every proof and said that in this case, a bracha is different because it's a mitzvah haba ba'avera. So the hunter who pointed his rifle at a thief to prevent him from making a bracha on wheat he stole ground and separated challah on, refused to take illegally obtained money that a gazlan was trying to return to him because he knew his rabbi would not be happy with him. Which reminds us, it was taught in the Braisa, gazlanim umavi beribus shechiziru, robbers and lenders on interest who attempted to return their legally obtained money, in makabun mehen, their victim should not accept it from them. And one who does accept it from them, a spirit of the Chachamim is not pleased with him. Rabbi Yochanan said this was enacted in Rebbe's time because of an incident in which someone wished to return his ill-gotten gains until his wife warned him that if he would repent, he would not even keep his belt, which he stole, and he refrained from repenting. So the hunter who pointed his rifle at a thief to prevent him from making a bracha on wheat he stole ground and separated challah on, refused to take illegally obtained money that a gazlan was trying to return to him because he knew his rabbi would not be happy with him, but didn't turn away the children returning his high-powered binoculars that their father stole from him because of their father's honor. Which reminds us, it was stated in a braisa that if a father stole and left his children a cow, cloak, or any distinct object which would be recognized by the public as being illegally obtained, they are obligated to return it mifnei kavod aviyam because of their father's honor. The Gemara wonders why they must protect their father's honor, for the pasuk says, "V'nasi ba'amcha l'tar," and a prince among your people you shall not curse, implying this is only ba'osamaisa amcha, when he acts according to the deeds of your people, but one who sins is not entitled to honor. The Gemara answers, b'sha'as ha'tshuva, the cases where the father repented before dying but did not manage to return the illegally obtained item before he died. Dav Tzadihei, so the Simra Dav Tzadihei is at Tzahal, tank commander. So here goes. The tank battle, the tank, that must be Dav Tzadihei, Tzahal, tank commander. The tank battle between the thief returning a stolen sheep he sheared, along with the shearings, which reminds us, it was taught in a brace where Mer says that if one stole a sheep and sheared it, or a cow, and it gave birth, Misham Osab bez gizoseb bez vladoseh. He pays means he returns it, its shearings, and its offspring. The Gemara asks, if Rameer holds shinui does not acquire, so the robber does not acquire with the shorn wool, nor the born fetus, or although he generally holds shinui does acquire, he penalized the robber to return the wool and the calf. So the tank battle between the thief returning a stolen sheep he sheared, along with his shearings, and the thief returning a stolen sheep with the wool that grew in his possession, which reminds us, in the same brace where Yehuda says, Gezela chozeres be'eneho, the stolen animal returns to its owner as is, without the shorn wool and calf. He additionally pays the value of the wool or fetus at the time of the robbery. Rabbi Shimon says we view it as if it was appraised and placed with him according to its cash value at the time of the robbery, and he pays that amount. Rosvid explains, B'shevach shal gabi gazel kamufike. They argue about improvements which are still attached to the stolen item, meaning the animal grew wool or became pregnant in his possession. Rabbi holds they belong to the original owner, since he says the animal is returned as is, including additional improvements. Rabbi Shimon, who views the animal as if it was appraised at the robbery, holds All improvements belong to the robber who acquires them with Shinui, even while attached. So the tank battle between the thief returning a stolen sheep he sheared, along with his shearings, and the thief returning a stolen sheep with the wool that grew in his possession, was interrupted when Bakor stepped onto the field to pay his brother with cash for his share in the improvements they made to their father's estate before dividing it, which reminds us. Shmuel said, Shlosha shamin lehen shevach. There are three people for whom we assess the improvements they made to the land, umalin osam bedamim, and we remove them from their share in the land through a money payment. The first one being a Bechor pays cash to his brother for his share in improvements they made to the estate before dividing it, since the Bechor does not receive a double portion in the subsequent improvements. Tav Tzadivav. So the Zimmer Tav Tzadivav is a town crier proclaiming the king's commandments. So here goes. The town crier. Town crier? That must be Tav Tzadivav. Tzav. The town crier who bought a stolen bell and fashioned it into a long trumpet, allowing him to keep a share in the improvements, which reminds us. Rava said, Gazel v'yishpiach u'machar. If one stole something and improved it and then sold it, Mashi hishpiach u'machar. What he improved, he has sold. Rashi says in his first explanation, this refers to the partial share the robber acquires in the improvements, according to Rabbi Shimon. Rava inquired if the buyer improved the stolen article, if he also receives this share in the article, and concluded, Mamacha Rishon L'Sheni, what did the first sell to the second? Kol Schus Shetavu L'Yadu, any right that comes into his hand. The buyer acquires all rights of the Gazlan, including to acquire a share in his improvements. So the town crier who bought a stolen bell and fashioned it into a long trumpet, allowing him to keep his share in the improvements, blew his trumpet to alert the priest that the thief was hiding behind a pile of palm tree logs he had cut from a stolen palm tree, which he did not acquire, which reminds us, Rapapa said, that if someone stole a palm tree and cut it down, even if he felled it into his own land, he does not acquire it because originally it was called a palm tree and now too, it's still called a palm tree and not considered changed. Even if he cut it into logs, they're still called palm tree logs and unchanged. However, if he made them into beams, he does acquire them. So the town crier who bought a stolen bell and fashioned it into a long trumpet, allowing him to keep his share in the improvements, blew his trumpet to alert the police that the thief was hiding behind a pile of palm tree logs he had cut from a stolen palm tree, which he did not acquire, where he was melting stolen silver coins into a bar and acquiring them, since remaking coins would be panim chadashos, Balokan, which reminds us, if one stole a bar of silver and made it into coins, he does not acquire it because it can be returned to a bar. The slight differences in shape are insignificant for a bar of silver. But if one stole silver coins and melted them into a bar, he does acquire them because remaking them into coins would be panim chadashos. All right, so now it's time to conclude our pop quiz of 10 questions. Number one, which stuff do you learn about the prohibition to cut a fruit tree? That's on Daf. Study off. Good. Number two, which stuff do you learn that one who steals one's eved who did work for him, he's pater for paying for his use? That's on Daf. Tzadi Zayin. Good. Number three, which stuff do you learn about Rabbi Meir's opinion that a gazlan also returns the shearings and offspring of a stolen animal? That's on Daf. Tzadi Hey. Good. Number four, which stuff do we discuss a gazlan whitening and dyeing wool? That's on Daf. Tzadi Gimel. Good. Number five, which stuff do you learn that Rav Huna holds that a coin that is nipsal means it is disqualified by the government to use? That's on Daf. Tzadi Zayin. Good. Number six, which stuff do you learn that children return an item that their deceased father stole b'nei kavod avihem? That's on Daf. Tzadi Dalet. Good. Number seven, which stuff do you learn if a gazlan stole a palm tree and cut it down into logs, he does not acquire them since they're still called palm tree logs? That's on Daf. Tzadi Vav. Good. Number eight, which stuff do you learn if someone lends his friend and fixes payment on a coin and the coin became disqualified, Shmuel says he can say, go spend it in Meishan where it's still accepted. That's on Daf. Tzadi Zayin. Good. Number nine, which stuff do you learn that one's humility should not prevent him from asking for his needs, whether in Torah, his livelihood, or claiming payment of a loan. That's on Daf. Tzadi Beis. Good. Number 10, which stuff do you learn that one stole coins and melted them down into a bar, he acquires them because remaking coins would be panim chadashos ba'ulkan. That's on Daf. Tzadi Vav. Excellent. That concludes today's shir. This is Rabbi Avram Goldhar from Zichur, wishing you a great day and great learning.